Much of the church today is buckling to the world's commands. The world's music is being played in the same churches that once sounded forth the great hymns of the faith. What clothing is for sale in the malls is being ripped off the shelves by Christians without pause. The world's entertainment, its dance, its movies, and its drink to go along with it all, these are being accepted as normal for Christians. In many churches, separation is no longer being taught as a fundamental of the faith, and personal holiness is not being preached in an attempt to reach the lost for the Lord. Pushing along the decline of the church, I believe, is much of the Christian youth of America. Pushing mom and dad to watch that TV show, pushing the choir director to let them perform that song, pushing the pastor to bring in this new idea. We have not turned our eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world might grow strangely dim in the light of this glory, of his glory and grace. Usually there is a slow descent in a young person. It starts with a strong conscience about sin, but when pushed by friends and for fear of being labeled a snitch, tattletale, or uncool, there is soon full participation in the things once stood against. There is listening to music stamped with worldliness and temporality. At first it seemed wrong, but they soon find themselves embracing it and even condoning it. The clothes that, as Dr. Bob Jones Jr. described, seem to stress the physical, become the daily garb. And then there's the first drink of alcohol. Oh, it may feel wrong at first. They vex their soul so much that eventually convince themselves that there's nothing wrong with it. And so with this backdrop, I bring you my text, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It is a wonderful text, not merely directed to only the Corinthians, but also to us. We need to depart from the things of this world, but we just don't want to. Why don't we want to come out from the things of this world and separate ourselves from this world? Well, number one, I observe from Scripture is because we don't want to give up unholy pleasure. You see, the desires to fulfill the lusts of the flesh are at work in our lives, trying to pull us back to the things of this world, those things that would be pleasurable to us, to our flesh. Our old nature wants the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But we that are saved have a higher calling. Don't choose the pleasures of this world, as demons did, which are temporary, over the gifts of joy unspeakable, which are eternal. The famous missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Brings to mind Moses. Moses was a Jew, providentially brought up in the household of Egypt. He was providentially alive, for that matter. We find Moses, he had all of the riches of Egypt at his hand. He was a prince of Egypt. He had all the luxuries and the pleasures that the world had to afford. But we don't find Moses following after the lusts of the flesh. We find Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, a type of the world. We find Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He esteemed the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. We ought to follow Moses' example in receiving the reproach of Christ, a greater reward than what the world has. Moses, he was no fool who gave his life that which he could not keep, the treasures of Egypt, to gain that which he cannot lose, the reproach of Christ. Now, secondly, we don't want to come out from the world because we don't want to give up popularity. We want to please our peers at any cost, even at the cost of personal holiness. Pleasing our peers is not wrong in and of itself. After all, we are social creatures. However, the approval of men should not be what drives us. The fear of man is a snare. We ought to fear what God can do to us, not what man will do to us. Peer pressure can affect us in many ways. It affects what we wear, what we say, and even what we believe. Concerning those things, appear to have pushed on you, if those things be any bit contrary to the word of God, give them up. Remember, the Bible says that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Rather reprove them. If your friends would dishonor or disobey your parents, sneak on them and have a swing in the world, not only just don't hang around them, but rebuke them. Have no fellowship with them, but reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. And I would encourage you to take heart by the hymn writer, Philip Bliss, when he wrote, "Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known." Of course, you will not be popular. It's one of those things that just comes with standing up and recruiting. So these two things, I believe, cause us to want to stay in the world. Pleasure and popularity. But we should be encouraged that there are tremendous benefits for us when we come out of the world. I can think of two revealed in Scripture. First, we free ourselves from the vexation of our souls. In the book of Genesis chapter 13, we find the story of Lot. Lot and Abram were both tremendously blessed of the Lord. So much so, in fact, that the land could not hold both of them. There were too many people. So Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between my people." And then Abram gave Lot a choice. He said, "Lot, you have the land on my right, or you can have the land on my left. Take whatever you choose." And Lot, looking out over the well-watered plain of Jordan, set his tent towards Sodom, the world. Those that would make light things of God and water down his wall. The next place that we find Lot is when he is living in that very den of iniquity. And you know the rest of the story. The Lord saved Lot and his two daughters when he destroyed the cities in the area with fire and brimstone from heaven. And the awful story goes downhill from there. If it weren't for the New Testament, we would have no reason to believe that Lot was one of Christ's. However, the Scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8 that the Lord delivered Lot, who had been vexing his righteous soul daily. What a miserable existence the world was affording him all along. We should not think for one minute that if we fall into the company of the world, we will be an exception and all will be well with us. We are not going to be able to maneuver ourselves out of the designs of the world for us. If we spend time with this world, our spirits will be vexed, and that word literally means torture. Our spirits will be tortured daily. Spend time in this world. I know how miserable we will be. And then we have to live with the side effects that come afterwards. Lot lost his wife, his testimony, and in drunkenness he fell into debauchery. What a tragic life. Do any of us want to end up like Lot? Do any of us want to be vexed in the world and finally succumb to a sad and predictable end? Surely Lot would say with Paul, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And here's another benefit of coming out from the world and being severed. We receive the promise of having a great Father. Our text in 2 Corinthians assures us of this promise that we will have a heavenly Father. It says that if you come out from among them, if you will separate yourself from worldliness, if you will stop hanging around the wrong crowd, repent, and like the prodigal son, come home. He says, "I will receive you. You shall be to me sons and daughters, and I will be to you father." There are so many benefits of having a heavenly Father. He is someone who will provide your most essential needs for you. Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount said, "Behold, the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" God, who feeds the wild beasts and supplies their needs, wants to be your Father and supply yours, if you'll but come out from among them and be separate. Not only does he provide for his children their daily food and clothing, but also during the Sermon on the Mount, we find that we will have a Father who will give us the desires of our heart. Jesus says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? In conclusion, many churches are becoming more worldly. And I would say with Paul simply, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Give up your worldly pleasures as Moses did, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Dare to be a Daniel, even at the expense of unpopularity. And enjoy all protection. And in obedience to this command, experience the promise of being free from the vexation of your soul as long experienced. And enjoy all that your Heavenly Father has prepared for you. Enjoy the goodness of your Heavenly Father. Before I close, I want to challenge you. Depart from something. Someone. Some practice. Would you think of something? Would you apply this verse to a specific area of your life that you're not willing to give up? That certain friend who would have unholy, ungodly secrets that he wants you to keep? That TV show that makes light of the things of God? And I close with this portion of scripture that immediately follows. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank Thee that Thou wilt be a Father unto us. Pray that Thou wilt give us boldness to stand against that which is contrary to Thy word, Lord. Pray that Thou wilt be with us on our way, as Thou hast promised, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Great, thank you so much.